This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, the weather's up and down and all around, you know.
That's a nice way to put it, but yeah, welcome to springtime weather.
That's right. We've had storms. We've, you know, had a few tornadoes in Texas, you know, blew some places almost away out in West Texas, you know, North Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Springtime in Texas is always interesting.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it seems like even like before we got into like the springtime weather, you still had all that crazy up and down and storms. And really, this has been going on for what, a year and a half or so? It started with the big snowstorm a while back, not this winter, but the last winter. And then it just seems like there's been bouts of strange, bizarre weather ever since. It's weird.
I think it is weird. And, lots of times in winter you don't have tornadoes, but, you know, this last year there was even some tornadoes in the winter. So the weather's changing, and you just don't know what to think from day to day.
I know it. And then you were at 100, and then now you're back down to, it looks like you're back down to, like, some normal, like, 80-ish, something like that, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's down in the 80s. And, of course, with all the storms, it should keep it nice and cool for a little while anyway. And, of course, you know, everybody has been in drought conditions in some places out west. So, you know, everybody does need rain. I realize that. But we don't want it all in one night.
No, not all in one night.
That's right. Let's don't do it all in one night. Oh, my gosh. Well, and the good news is, I want to tell you before I forget it, we've had two more maturities.
Really?
Manning and Harris, yes. Found out the same day about both of them. So that's a good thing. You know, we need lots more maturities. I'm hoping to hear any day about a couple of those big ones that we really need to come in. But in the meantime, we are having maturities, so people are getting paid. We've got several, out right now that we're waiting to be paid on. So people are making money. They've got some money coming, and that's a good thing.
Cool. And that's what it's all about. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. A lot of good things on there. Go and read it. Look and see what people have made. There's references on there. A lot of things that people should know about.
It sounds like things are really cooking along, and I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to the stock market this week because I was a little bit busy. But I know last week, you know, we were really concerned, and we were saying that the people were throwing out the R word, that we might be headed for a pretty serious recession again, similar to 2008. So where are we right now?
Well, it's been up and down all week. It lost quite a bit, then it came back up, then it goes down. I don't know. I don't think my heart would stand it.
Jeez.
You know, not knowing whether your money is gone or whether it's still there. You know, it's nerve-wracking, to say the least.
Yeah.
And anybody that's got the stomach for that, more power to them. But I just couldn't take it. I need... I need it steady, steady as it goes.
Yes.
Where I know what I'm going to make, that I know that the principal is never going to leave. And with the stock market right now, you don't know about your principal from day to day. I know a lot of people are having to rethink their investment in the stock market, and a lot of the mutual funds are just closing down. They're just saying, you know, our losses are too great. We're not going to make any money. The losses are just consuming us, so they're just giving people their money back.
Jeez. I don't know that that's ever happened before, has it?
Not in a long time. I can't remember these big mutual funds just closing down. But there's several of them that are. They're just saying, you know, our losses are too great. There's no way we're going to make any money. And the money we've made is now gone because they made some bad judgment calls.
How in the...
Kind of like old Yeltsin, you know. She said she misfigured everything. Can you imagine? She's up there in the government, supposed to know all these, know all and see all. And Janet Yellen says, you know, I made a mistake. I misfigured all this.
What?
That's
really?
Typical of the government, isn't it? Typical of our government. Oh, my gosh.
She really said that? Like,
she really said it
on
television. Everybody knows it. I mean, she said, I made a mistake. I miscalculated, she said.
Miscalculated.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, miscalculated. Misfigured, she said.
Well, then sure, that's fine. Then let's all just go to lunch. We'll just chalk it up as, it's fine. Wow.
That's basically what she said. It's like the president has done everything and seen everything.
Jeez.
It's an amazing deal. You know, to hear him tell it, he's been everywhere, done everything. You know, he went to West Point, all these academies, he did all this, and, you know, his memory is so bad, I can't imagine how he gets through the day.
You know, I've said same thing about myself sometimes.
There you go. So you're in the same boat with him, golly.
I could be president.
What a deal. Yeah, you could be president on that deal, you know?
Wow.
Gosh.
Yes.
Well,
so I don't understand how misfigured, miscalculated, whatever. So here we are. So then what do you do going forward? I mean, it's not something that they could just magically whip up a formula and fix. It's just like now there's a situation and people have to figure out how to navigate it, I guess, on their own. And so they have to decide, you know, are we going to stay, you know, with the course, or are we going to, you know, finally, because here we go. It's almost like it comes in cycles, you know, so it's like
it does come in cycles.
Yeah, we'll go through these and then things will kind of recover a little bit. And people tend to sort of forget a little bit. And then we're reminded when we're in this situation. Oh, yeah, this happened, you know, in 2008. It happened, you know, in the 70s. It happened, you know, there's all these references. It's like, why haven't I learned my lesson? And so people, I would imagine.
People never learn.
Yeah.
They forget. You know, 5 or 7 years you forget all the bad things that happened, and you think positive again. I'll give you, for instance, about this recession. We ran out of ketchup. Instead of going to the big store, we just run up here at the drugstore and just get a bottle of ketchup. It was $7.
Really?
Whoa. For a bottle of ketchup.
Wow.
Milk is $6.
Jeez.
Now, you know, you've heard about inflation. I mean, it's out of hand. You know, everybody is jacking up the prices. They know they can do it under the guise of inflation and say, well, you know, it cost us this much more to ship. Our labor cost was more. And people don't notice it till they get to the counter. And you get to the counter and they said, that'll be $7 for a little bottle of ketchup. And you go, what in the world have I done?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, sometimes it'll happen, like historically, there'll be like little tiny things here and there that you may not notice. You know, some price on a product may go up a few cents. It's like, okay, it's here or there, it happens. But boy, when you get to the checkout and you're ringing up, you know, 50 or 100 items, and that overall grocery bill that you normally spend maybe $150 every week is now, you know, $200, all that adds up really quickly. And then all of a sudden, that's when you get the major sticker shock, and it's like, uh-oh. We're in trouble now.
That's exactly right. They say that most foods have went up 37%.
Really?
And we know how high gas is. Oh. And they say vacations will be shorter and closer to home.
Yeah.
And that airline tickets are exorbitant.
Yes. Yes.
So it's going to make a difference in everybody's pocketbook. Their spending habits are going to change. Gas is so high that a lot of the truckers don't want to make deliveries. They don't want to deliver the goods. They said it costs too much. So this is going to affect everyone unless something wonderful happens.
Wow.
And I'm not saying it's not going to. You know, this is Texas. Anything can happen.
Yeah. That's true. But I mean, even if, I mean, you would think in the past anyway, when, you know, prices start to rise and fuel costs go up, you know, they usually pass those on to consumers. But if they're saying that, you know, we're not even going to deliver, we're going to bypass passing on the additional expense, and they're just like refusing to do deliveries, that's a different situation. That kind of seems like it takes it to a whole new field, isn't it?
It does. And, I talked to some retailers, and they just said, you know, we're not getting our deliveries. A lot of them are refusing to go on the road. And, of course, Walmart's paying, I think, $100 an hour now for their drivers.
Really?
It's $98,000 a year. They're paying $98,000 a year for a truck driver.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't even think they have enough the way it is.
Wow.
So times are going to have to change. Things are going to have to change, you know, because you know they're going to pass everything to the consumer.
Yeah.
They always have. And if they can't pass it on, then they're not going to buy the goods.
Yeah. I think I saw something about, and it was, there were early numbers, but I saw that the Memorial Day travel, like the airfare and all that, was like through the roof. And I don't have the exact numbers, but it seems like from everything that I saw that travel last weekend for Memorial Day, there was more people traveling than had happened in many, many years. And it kind of shocked me, to be honest, because, you know, those airline tickets are more. Hotel accommodations and even like Airbnb and Vrbo and things like that, those prices are through the roof as well. I'm kind of surprised, and I'm wondering if that's going to crash down at some point, because we're into the summer vacation planning period. You know, can it go on?
We are, and everybody's taking vacations. Their children are out of school. A lot of people are graduating. Their kids are graduating. They're going to take them on special trips. Speaking of that, as you know, Tina, my secretary, her son graduated from West Point last weekend.
Wow.
And now he's getting married this weekend.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations
cool.
to him.
And,
wow.
Yeah, and it takes a lot to get into West Point.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know you have to have references from senators and congressmen in your state.
Really?
And if they don't recommend you, you don't get in.
Wow. Yeah, that's a high bar to get into West Point.
It is a high bar. So to become an officer, you know, you've got 4 years of heavy training. So it is really great. The boys that can pass and graduate from West Point, and they're our new officers in our military.
Wow. Congratulations to them. Wow. This is a big month for not only to graduate and then get married right after that. That's really cool.
Yes.
Really?
It is pretty cool. So we're proud of him and Tina being such a good mother.
Wow, that is awesome. That is fantastic news. And we need a little good news right now.
We need some good news.
That dim
picture. You know, we need some wonderful things happening to get our spirits where they ought to be, to get us into the right mode of thinking.
Yeah. So is financially, is there any good news? Is there any like positive news on the horizon, or is it really just about?
Well, we're bidding on policies. I've had to turn some down this week. The premiums were too high. The people were sick, but the premiums were too high. So, you know, we did not buy those. We're still working on a lot more. Hopefully we'll have some good news the first of the week on policies that we're bidding on that we can get people in. People need to be in some new policies, making money, and we're working hard toward that effort. We're trying to get the policies that'll work and get them to all of our clients.
What's the landscape like? Are policies, is there a plenty of policies to bid on? Because I know sometimes we go through feast or famine.
No, it's not this month. Remember, this is May. May is always slow toward policies. I guess people, maybe they're not ready to sell their policy, different things. I'm just not sure. But I do know that everyone that comes in, we're looking at it hard. We're studying it to see what the medical says. But then we've got to look at the premium. If those premiums are too high, we're not even going to touch it. You know, I gave everybody my word that we would only do low premiums, and that's what we're going to do. We're not going to take on a high premium. So this will make them, every policy they do, the risk is going to be almost non-existent.
Well, you know,
you don't have the premium to worry about.
And it's difficult to control what policies are available. It's kind of, you're kind of like at the mercy of the times, or you know, whichever policies are available. It's not like you can create anything that doesn't exist. But it's good to know that, you know, when you do look at policies, it's still, you know, the same, like you don't like loosen up the rules or, you know, your parameters and things like that based on, you know, supply and demand. You still stay with, you know, we're going to make sure premiums are low. We're going to make sure that we're getting the right types of policies. None of that is ever compromised, even if, you know, it just happens to be that there's a few less policies to bid on than usual. That's good to know.
There are a few less, but usually in June, it picks back up. They get us a lot more policies to look at. And of course, I'm hoping this next week that we'll make some decisions on the ones we're looking at now, and that we'll get those out to the clients for their review and hopefully get some of these on the books.
Yeah. And you had a couple of maturities this week, and so people are getting paid.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of things. It sounds like there's a lot of things that are happening, and it's just pretty much just normal ebbs and flows of how the whole business works. Sounds like it.
Yeah, and we had Kettlewell that was came in early last week. We're getting the certified death certificate. Going to get that over to the carrier. You know, we've got several out for payment. So there'll be several coming in for payment. That other one, you know, that came due, you know, we got that in the bank. Everybody got their money on that. Some of them made a lot of money on that policy.
That's good to know. That's good news.
Yes, it is good news.
Are people, do you have people coming to you that are still somewhat panicking, worried that maybe they have lost too much in the stock market? I know sometimes, you know, like especially last week, we were talking and you had some people that had said, you know, we've lost too much. We're worried about what's happening. What's the general temperature like? Are people panicking, or are they somewhat, or should they be panicking if they're not?
I think some of them are rethinking their finances. Some of them are redoing their finances. Then others are holding steady. And then a lot of them are not in the stock market. A lot of them are just with us, have all their money with us. So that, you know, they're not panicking. But people that have it both ways, that have stock market and us, I think they're being very cautious. I think they're really looking at their stock holdings to see where they are.
Are they still threatening? Threatening is not the right word. Are they still maybe predicting a major recession on the horizon?
Oh, yeah, I think everybody's predicting that. Yes, I think everybody's saying that's going to happen. And that it's going to get very volatile. I know Jamie Dimon with Chase was talking about it. A lot of them And I don't know if they know a lot more than us. They think they're smarter than us. We know that.
It's a nice way to put it.
That's a nice way. But anyway, yes, a lot of people, a lot of the people on Wall Street are predicting that we're going to have a super-blown recession. Not a small one, but a full-blown one. Unless things change.
You think worse than 2008?
That's kind of the prediction. And I don't know if they're right or wrong. We don't know. In 2008, when the crash came, we weren't even in a recession. I mean, that just happened pretty quick. So I don't know. And every time everybody hears some bad news, it has a volatile way of erupting, and then it'll go a few days, and things. Stock market goes, oh yeah, let's do this, let's buy these stocks, and then the stocks all go down that they just bought.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Sometimes
you just don't know right now.
People start saying things like that, and the buzzwords start to come out, and people go into a short-term panic, and then it kind of like resets and readjusts, and it kind of gets back on track. It doesn't sound like that is probably going to be the case this time. This is probably like one that people should pay attention to. So if they're worried, what's the first thing that somebody should do if they're thinking, okay, I'm in the stock market, I've got too much here, I have too much to lose, there's too much at stake. What should somebody in that position start doing?
Well, if they're really worried, like a lot of them are, I would rethink everything. I'd say, maybe I should take half of it out and get it to safety, where that nothing can happen to at least that much of my money. Or they might say, let's take it all out. There's nothing wrong with taking your money out of the stock market. It's not a sin or disgrace to say, this isn't working. I thought it was working. It's not. Take it out of the stock market. Get to the sidelines. Invest with us if you want it to be conservative, or bring it over. Put part of it in cash with us and invest part of it. At least get it to safety. Say, okay, cash me out. I'll just put it in cash for a month or two here. There's nothing wrong with having cash even. Mm. Cash is not a dirty word.
No. It's not. It's a four-letter word, but it's not bad.
That's right. It's not bad. People used to have a lot of cash in their accounts.
Is that because I know sometimes we talk about how, if your money isn't, how do we phrase it? If you're not making money, you're losing money.
That's right. Well, you're standing still, to say the least.
Yeah.
If you're so afraid that it really is all in cash, you're not going to have any extra money for retirement. All you're going to have is what you put in it that day, because the bank isn't going to pay you any money. They're not paying any interest. So that's all set aside. So the best thing you can do is do conservative investments, but don't let the money, really, in fact, just sit there in cash. Even though I said it's a safe option, it's like a piggy bank. A piggy bank is safe, but it's not going to make any money. It's not going anywhere financially. So the best thing you could do is make up your mind whether you want to stay in the stock market, what age you are. If you're 60 years old and you stay in the stock market we do have a crash, I'm going to feel sorry for you a lot. But, if you're 40 years old, that's a different story. You can lose it and you can make it back in 10 years. But if you're 60 years old, you should be conservative. You should think about it. Talk to your wife about it. She will not divorce you if you take it out of the stock market, I assure you. So, there's nothing like having a safe investment, let me tell you. So if you bring it out, you want a safety, bring it over to us and let us see if you like us. Do some investments, see how it works, how you get paid, what you made on the investment, and see if it's better than the stock market. I guarantee it couldn't be worse, because your principal is always safe. If you don't want to do a life sale, do some annuities. Annuities is the safest thing on the planet, and they always pay good. Your principal's guaranteed from the day you put it in to the day you take it out. And
so pulling
they
like
work beautifully.
Like people in 1929 took their money out and stuck piles of cash under the mattress. That's not probably the best idea to do right now. There are better ways.
If the house burns down or somebody comes in and steals it, there's no way to recover. So don't put it under the mattress. That's not a good idea. There's just a lot of things you could do that's a lot safer than that. Years ago, people didn't trust the banks, so they did bring their money home. I've heard of a few stories where, you know, the house caught fire and they couldn't retrieve it. It what literally was in the mattress.
Oh, that's like literal. I thought you were just telling tale. Wow.
And I know of a case in Oklahoma where this guy didn't trust the banks. He put it in cans in the backyard. Now, how do you remember where all those cans are?
Oh, wow.
I mean, he never found them all, I assure you.
I'm sure. Unless he made his own treasure map of where the cans are.
That's right.
Are.
He didn't. He wasn't smart enough to do that. No. He thought he was smart putting them in cans in the backyard, you know.
So a lot of people, they may think to themselves, okay, let's just get out of the stock market. Let's stop the bleeding, you know, try to cut it off before we lose anything else, you know, cut our
That's
losses.
Right.
But there are actually ways you don't have to just stop the bleeding. You still can thrive. And two ways to do that, both of them are life settlements or annuities, right?
That's right. So, you know, ours are conservative investments. If you're conservative, this is a good idea. If you're very, very liberal with your investments, it might not be the idea for you. But sometimes even a liberal will get conservative when it's their money. You know, when they think they might lose a lot of it, you know, and sometimes they do turn around and they say, you know, maybe this isn't the right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Totally, especially when they look at their portfolio and they realize, you know, we've lost a little bit more than what I thought, or we haven't made as much as what we thought. It's just not happening. We've been doing this for years and years and years, and now we're facing a situation where we might lose even more in a big hurry. So, if something was to happen to the stock market, just say there was a crash or something. What would happen to anybody, one, in a life settlement, and two, in an annuity? How would it affect either one of those situations?
It will not affect them in any way. Their investment will go on just like it is because we're not in the stock market. Our investments don't go up and down. They're not going to lose their investment. They don't have to worry about that. They're not paying a stockbroker thousands a year to manage this and to lose their money.
Jeez.
You know? And, you know, we read about it every day in the paper. The brokers make these huge mistakes, and when they do, the people lose their money. You know, they put them in something that they shouldn't have, and when it goes belly up, they delist the stock, or worse, and that's almost as bad as it can get. You're at their mercy. You're trusting someone to do your investments, to make the money for you, and remember, it's not their money. So their interest is a little different than yours. You know, you think their interest is on your side, but really it's on the commission side. You know, what can I make on this trade? And they get paid every time they make a trade. Plus, if you've got enough money with them, they're charging 1% to 2%.
You know, almost.
To handle the money.
It seems, when you put it that way, it really kind of drives it home that, you know, your interests as an investor in the stock market and your broker's interests are not aligned. It's like this almost opposite.
They're really not aligned because they're doing it for commission.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Win, lose, or draw, they get paid. If they have to sell the stock, they get paid. If they buy the stock, they get paid. If you have enough money, there's a fee involved at all times. So it makes a difference. You have to think about all these things. What is in my favor at the stock market? Well, it's in your favor if it goes up. If it goes down and that company takes a huge loss, you take a huge loss. So you're riding the wave up and down. It's not a one-way street.
Mm. It's almost like a conflict of interest.
Mutual funds, yeah. The mutual funds have had some really, really bad days. And the stocks, you know, have lost a tremendous amount. And I don't know how long it'll take for them to recover to where they were the glad days when they were making all that money. So the risk, you know, is great. The rewards sometimes are great, but you have to balance that out. Which is going to be greater, the reward or the loss?
Yeah.
So you have to think about it. And remember that Wall Street's different than you. You're out here making a living, working hard, having somebody work on your behalf on your investments. But you can't control what the stocks are doing. You have no control when they get the news of something bad and the stocks just drop, you know.
I would imagine.
Look how much the Dow's lost in the last two or three weeks.
Lord.
Yeah, a tremendous amount. The S&P, all these things. So you have to give all that some consideration.
I'm guessing that probably your investors who are in life settlements or annuities may not even pay any attention to the stock market while a lot of people are watching it like a hawk, you know, because everything is riding on. They've got all their eggs in one basket. Your investors are really not even – they're not even concerned because it has – they're completely free of all the drama on Wall Street, and it's not going to affect them in any way because they're still, you know, making money like crazy, and it just go on as it was – just any other average day, regardless of what's happening. And that's got to be a good feeling, not only for your portfolio and your, you know, potential to retire, but also for your nerves and anxiety as well, I would imagine.
That's right. So the anxiety isn't as high. A lot of people have got policies that have gone over, but they know they're going to get paid. They know the principal's safe, and they know they'll get their money back. And with the stock market, you do not know that.
Yeah,
you don't. You think you will, but it's not always true.
Yeah, protecting your principal is really a core, I guess, a core asset of a life settlement. So, a lot of good opportunities for people. So, if they're worried about, you know, the stock market, if they've been in it too long, if they're, you know, worried about what may be coming, this is probably a pretty good alternative. We'll get into kind of, you know, what it takes, you know, to get into a life settlement and some of the requirements for an annuity as well. We'll do that here in a few minutes. But for right now, this is Your Money with Fab Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Well, today I wanted something very light with all the things going on in the state and in the world. And so I decided to do Texas sayings, things that people say about Texas.
Cool.
So, so my first one is Texas, a blend of valor and swagger. Carl Sandburg said that. There wouldn't be no Alamo, no Cowboys in the Super Bowl, no Lonesome Dove, no Yellow Rose if it wasn't for Texas. And George Strait said that.
Wow. You put it that way, and it, like, drives it home. We are an important place.
I'm so shook. Texas literally has a pledge, they say, every morning. Said I thought it was a joke. I like the image Texas brings to mind, of bigness, of strength, of goodness. The enemy never sees the back of my Texans, Robert E. Lee.
Nice.
Texas history is a varied, tempestuous, and vast as the state itself. Texas history is unbelievable, but no more incredible than Texas today. Today's Texas, exhilarating, exasperating, violent, charming, horrible, delightful, alive. Edna Ferber, the author, wrote that.
Wow. There's a lot packed into that one. Jeez.
For all of its enormous range of space, climate, and physical appearance, and for all the internal squabbles, contentions, and strivings, Texas has a tight cohesiveness stronger than any other section of America. Rich, poor, Panhandle Gulf, city, country, Texas is the obsession, the proper study, and the passionate possession of all Texans.
Mm, now that's the truth.
Again, and that's John Steinbeck again. Half of San Antonio's population is of Mexican descent. The other half just eats that way. And that was Mike Greenberg.
I like that one.
Yeah. If you really want to learn the attitude of how to handle risk, losing, and failure, go to San Antonio, visit the Alamo. Mm. The Alamo is the great story of brave people who chose to fight, knowing there was no hope of success against overwhelming odds.
Mm.
And that's absolutely true.
Yeah, it is.
What you Northerners never appreciate is that Texas is so big that you can live your life within its limits and never give a damn about what anyone in Boston or San Francisco thinks.
Or New Jersey.
Or New Jersey. We don't want to leave that out. There's a growing feeling that perhaps Texas is really another country, a place where the skies, the disasters, the diamonds, the politicians, the women, the fortunes, the football players are all bigger than anywhere else. In the covered wagon days, if a baby was born in Texarkana while the family was crossing into the Lone Star State, by the time they reached El Paso, the baby would be in the third grade.
Now, that's the truth.
Yeah. There's a vastness here, and I believe that the people who are born here breathe that vastness into their soul. They dream big dreams and think big thoughts because there's nothing to hem them in. No matter where you go in East Texas, deep East Texas is always about 20 miles farther than wherever you are. And here is a unique Texas saying, it's not for the faint of heart. And that is true, isn't it?
That's true. Totally.
And they hung the royal horse thief, and that's when something goes wrong. And how rich can you be in Texas? So rich you could eat fried chicken all week long.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, knee-walking drunk. Tell your friends about that epic night of partying.
I want to say I've been there, but I don't know anything about that.
Okay. Being from Texas, I would say if I favor a pair of jeans you can wear some boots with.
Nice. That's the truth. That's a
in
way.
In Texas, yeah, go ahead.
That's our way of life.
In Texas, we practically come out of the womb in jeans.
Yes. Yeah, we do.
Texas ain't Texas if they aren't willing to boast about the state they call home.
Right. Right, because there's literally no other place that has everything in the shape of Texas like we do. They don't.
That's
have
right. It. I mean, and it's up on our barns. It's up on everywhere. Even the signs in Texas said, "Don't mess with Texas."
Yeah, yeah. You know, they don't have anything that says, "Don't mess with," you know. I don't know, South Carolina. They don't have anything like that.
Or New Jersey.
Or New Jersey.
New Jersey. And Texas ignored better long ago, forgot the useless word good. Everything in Texas is best.
Yes.
And that is absolutely the truth.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
Texans represent many things. We're bigger than life in our boots and our Stetsons. Rugged individuals who two-stepping has achieved worldwide acclaim, and we were the first to define hospitality.
Ain't that the truth?
Yes, and Texas has more fun than the rest of the world. That is absolutely true.
Yeah, it is. Man, you've been other places before, and you realize it. It's like you can't wait to get back home.
That's right. And as I said, they'd heard about Texas football, how much of a religion is, but to go to Odessa and experience it firsthand is something different than just hearing about it.
That's the truth. It's there's a whole vibe. You can't get the same thing from just like listening to something or watching something or reading something. You got to be there. You got to experience. You got to feel it.
That's right. And Keith Richards said, "I live here in Austin. Anybody got a room?"
Ha, 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 That's funny. Wow. Keith Richards.
And, you know, people from all over the United States can pick Texas out on the map.
Yeah.
Even if they're not American, people know about Texas all over the world. Traveling Texas team to identify as Texans rather than Americans because, well, we get treated like celebrities wherever we go.
It's the truth. That is totally the truth. You know, you can ask people different, you know, states on the map, and some people can pick out some places, but everybody can pick out us every time.
That's right. And I'd rather be a fence post in Texas than the king of Tennessee.
That's a good one. I like that. Nice.
And no place like Texas would I ever roam. No place like Texas, my home, sweet home. And that's Willie Nelson.
Yes.
And it says you don't just move into Texas, it moves into you.
Ooh, yeah. Now that's a good one. I like that. It does. It gets in your veins, in your soul.
It is in your soul, and that everybody talks about that. And if you weren't born in Texas, you got to Texas as quick as you could.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought that would be interesting today, a little lightheartedness. We all need a little bit of that. And it's amazing. From Davy Crockett to Willie Nelson, everybody has something to say about Texas, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. And it's just like, you don't go other places, and they just don't. You'll have the signs, you know, as you cross a border into some other state. This is, you know, welcome to Pennsylvania or wherever, and that's fine. and they'll have their little slogan on there. But once you cross that, you would have no idea where you were. If you were just driving down the interstate, you would have no idea where you were until you left the state and said, you know, come back again to, you know, Pennsylvania or whatever. But
yeah, now leaving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But boy, you drive through Texas and you don't go but a couple miles without seeing either a shape or a reference or the name or a slogan or, you know, something to let you know where you are. And it's just like you just don't get that other places.
That's right. And it's that all of our road signs are something really dramatic about all of our road signs that I've never seen anywhere else in the world.
True. Yeah, I didn't think of that, but yeah, totally.
And one of them is drive friendly. You know, they've got so many signs up in Texas that people recognize us as a unique state, one of the biggest states anywhere. We have more farmland than anywhere in the United States. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
We have 130,000 acres.
Really?
Of farmland in Texas, yes.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
And in most things, like all the vegetables we've always talked about, the watermelon, all this, we are tops in the nation in growing almost everything that we grow.
Totally, yeah. Self-sufficient. You know, you've gone through these things before in trivia that talks about, you know, all the different, you know, regions of the state and all the different types of agriculture, you know, from cotton to vegetables to cattle to wine to all these different things. And it's just like everything we have is right here.
And it is really bigger and better in Texas. You know, everybody always says that, but it's the truth. We're not just bragging. It's a fact.
Yeah, it is. It totally is not just a saying. It literally is how we are. And, you know, there's a certain pride that goes along with that they don't have other places.
I think every Texan is very proud. I love it when I see all the men in their Stetson hats, their boots, their Levi's, and it's just a way of life.
Yeah.
You know.
And you don't have another region of the country, or really probably the world, that, you know, people have not only a look, but an aura about them about where they are or where they're from. They just it's not there. There's more soul here than any place else, on the inside and outside.
I believe that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was doing some research this week, and they said that we have more towns in Texas that are religious, the whole town, than anywhere else in the United States.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all. That's totally true. No doubt.
Yes. So people are deeply religious. They have a lot of faith here. They're very loyal. There's just so many things about Texans that it'd take all day to talk about, you know?
Loyal. That's a good word. That's a great way to put it.
I think they are very loyal to their friends, their neighbors, and people here help each other. Had you thought about that? They're always lending a hand to a friend or a neighbor. And other states, they don't even want to talk to you. In New Jersey, if you spoke to somebody, they'd probably shoot you.
Yeah, this week we talk about how wonderful we are. Next week in trivia, we should talk about how terrible New Jersey is.
I know. They're going to come down here and get me, you know.
They may try.
They're going to come and get me. They might try, might they? But it is true. And Texas is a friendly state in the United States. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a friendly state. We're nicer than other people. We're more helpful. And they give more here. There's just so many great things about a Texan. I couldn't name them all.
No. You could. It would take two trivias to get through all the.
It would take two trivias to name all the things that we know about people, you know.
Yeah, totally. It's just.
You
don't find this character in other people from other states.
That's exactly right. They keep to themselves. They don't talk to anybody. They don't even say good morning to their neighbors.
No, they don't even know who their neighbors are.
They have no idea. And I guarantee you, in any town in Texas, they know who all their neighbors are. They know the neighbors' kids. They look out for them. That's another thing. They still look out for other people's children here. The cars, whatever it is, if you have car trouble, they're going to help you, right?
Oh, yeah. Every time. Anytime we've ever had anything happen, there's always been people that have stopped. Sometimes more than one.
I'm going to tell you something. Somebody stops within 5 minutes when I've had car trouble. When I've had something happen, a gentleman will pull up and say, "Could I do that for you, ma'am? May I help you?"
Mm-hmm.
And it's always that way. And I'd hate to be in some other state and have a car break down because you'd just be there. They're not going to stop and help you. They're not going to call for help.
Oh, no. Don't break down in New Jersey.
That's right. Do not do that. I can remember years ago, if you were going to do something to your cattle, brand them, do anything, and you're going to pin them up, the neighbors came and helped you. Did you know that?
Yes, I don't doubt that. Of course.
You remember that? Yeah. That was small ranches, but the neighbors always came and pitched in to help.
That's what we do.
So it just tells you something about the way of life in Texas.
Yeah, it does. You know, and people think that that's all made up and it's all, some kind of just a story that we like to tell or, you know, whatever. No, every bit of it is backed up.
They think it's phony, but nobody, you'll find out Texans are not phony.
Yeah, you'll find that out in a hurry. People that don't know, people that aren't here, they don't know. They have no idea until they get here and experience it.
Yeah, and that's what they need. And all these people moving into Texas, I hope they find out real quickly how they have to act.
I hope so.
I mean, me too, because, you know.
You can't bring your old ways.
It ain't going to work if they don't.
Oh, no.
No, they're going to have to change their ways and learn to say hello to people, to tip their hat. I mean, there's all kinds of things they need to learn.
Yeah, they need to learn to be nice, just general nice.
That's right. Just being nice is really important.
Yeah.
So they may have to take some courses.
That should be a requirement. If you move here from some other place.
It should be a requirement. That's right. Learn to say good morning and mean it, you know?
Yeah. Like when you take your driver's license, you know, you switch your license over from another state, you have to be forced to take a course on etiquette in Texas manners.
That's right. Texas manners is important. I might write a book on that. We might have to have a guideline for that. I could write that really easy.
You really should. There's one more thing that you need to do. Not only are you going to write a travel book.
Oh, my gosh, I don't have time for all the books now that we need to be writing.
Books, movies, TV shows, reality, all of it.
That's right. It's enough to keep me busy for a lifetime. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Wow, great trivia. And it's nice to kind of recircle back and get some good news and remind ourselves, you know, that, you know, it's not all, you know, terrible. And, you know, we do kind of remind ourselves that, you know, this is a special place, and we it's good to keep that in mind and get a refresher. That's cool. Really.
That's right. And if you don't have Texas in your heart, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, there is. You need to have an operation or something. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. A special surgery.
Special surgery, and I'll perform it.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Dr. Bagby is in the house.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Your title is going to have to turn into Faye Bagby, and this is going to be a long one. Faye Bagby, financial guru, cook, author, and surgeon.
All right. I love it. Do you think we can make up a card that says all that?
Yeah, it's going to have to be a big one to hold it all, but yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we'll just have to think that up.
We'll circle back.
We'll circle back on that, work on it.
Yeah, in another week or two, I'll give you a full report. We're talking about, you know, the requirements for doing a life settlement and for an annuity. What is required? You do have to be accredited to do a life settlement. So what does that mean, first of all?
You must be accredited, and that's a government regulation. You must make either $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. So it's either or. It's not both of them required. So a lot of people don't know for sure if they're worth $1 million. So I always say go home, and if you're unsure, go home and add it up, or add it up before you come to see me. But most people, when they call me on the phone, they've already added it up. They know they are worth that much, or they know they make over $200,000. A lot of people make a base pay, and then right now they're getting these big bonuses. So, you know, they are qualified. And most of them know it. If they aren't, they can ask me. I can tell them what all qualifies them. So that's really important. But you must be qualified and accredited to do business with a life settlement. That's a government regulation. Annuities are different. You can't have too much debt versus your income. All that still has to match, but you don't have to have you don't have to be worth $1 million, and you don't have to make $200,000 a year. So the qualifications are a lot different.
It is worth mentioning you do have some people, from what I can remember, that think maybe they're not quite accredited, but they've forgotten about, you know, either maybe, you know, some property someplace or a 401k that's someplace. Or it is worth taking a look at, because not a lot of people, you've said, I think, will come to you and they'll say, geez, I'm not accredited. But they just ran through some basic numbers in their brain. It is worth going back and taking a deeper look just to make sure you didn't overlook anything, because sometimes people who think they you told me a story once. I think about some people that didn't think they were accredited. They went back and looked at everything, found some old stuff they forgot about. Turns out they were, you know, right at like $1.5 million. And so they were more than accredited, I think. Is that
right? That's right. And they are still clients of ours, by the way.
Oh, cool. Really cool.
And in fact, they were just in a policy that matured the other day.
Oh, wow. Neat.
Yeah. And it's hard to remember everybody, but that made such an impression on me that I never did forget it.
Yeah.
You know, when something like that happens and they have to go home and add everything up, you know, it does make an impression on you.
Yeah. And it is worth going back and taking a look, because it does make a difference. If somebody's not accredited and they wanted to say they're interested in life settlements, is it reasonable to build up that accreditation status through like annuities and then switch over or add on to life settlements? Is that an option?
Let me tell you something. We have several people that started out with us years ago, and they were non-accredited. And in the last 2 years, they've become accredited. They're now worth $1 million. I'm
cool.
So impressed.
Nice.
Yeah, they started out with us. They were worth probably $400,000, but they've been with us several years. And we do check on people all the time. As your financial situation changed, is there something we need to know? We do inquire all the time. And I'm happy to say that most of them have now reported they are worth $1 million now. So we've moved them over to the accredited status as far as what they can do with us. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. And then finally, when it comes to a life settlement, you always kind of go over the three risks. And when you look at the risks, it's difficult to say that word. I know how it is when people, you know, hear the word risk. But when you compare it to the stock market and you take into consideration that in order to even do a life settlement, these are fairly they're not quite as impactful what it probably sounds like. So what's the first biggest risk with a life settlement?
The biggest risk is it can go over. So you should always make sure what that premium is when you go into a policy. In years past, we thought that 3%, would not be too high. But we've decided that is too high. We're not doing 3% now. And so we've got that premium way down. The last policies in the last 6 months that we've done have been less than 1%.
Nice.
So, it's really nice. And they're going to do better. They're going to make more money, fortunately. So this was a good thing that we woke up and did. So that's your biggest risk is your premium. That's why you must be accredited where you can stand the premium. The next risk is it's not liquid during that time. And thank goodness everybody does realize that. But it's not like it's in and out. You can't just go in one day say, oh, well, I want out of that policy the next day. You cannot do that either. So you have to stay the course. If it's 24 months, you've got to stay. And you shouldn't have a problem if you're accredited. You should have backup money, more money for any disaster that could happen to you. So we always check all that to make sure they have other funds if they had an emergency. You always have to have emergency funds. It doesn't matter if you're doing business with me or someone else. If you don't have emergency funds, you can get in trouble financially. So we make sure of that. Then the third risk is if a life insurance company should ever go under, it could take you longer to get your money. We haven't had a life insurance company go in years because they're all now worth billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah. In the reserves that they have on hand, just like outrageous.
Are tremendous.
Yeah.
They're outrageous. If I had that much money in reserve, I don't know what I would do. Lord.
You wouldn't need to write books.
That's right. I wouldn't even have to write the new books I'm writing, right? Oh, me.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so for people that are interested in maybe taking more conservative routes as far as their investments go, what should they do? And this is the last, we'll kind of wrap with this, but what should they do before they come talk to you? Do they need to do anything, any preparation?
Well, they just need to make sure that, that they have the net worth that they need or that they make the income they're going to need. They just need to check that.
Okay.
And then call, make an appointment, talk to me about what they'd like to do, discuss it, and we'll see if we can work it out.
And you've got availability for appointments this coming week to talk to people, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It is a working week. We have no holidays this week.
We got 4th of July coming up real soon. So,
oh, my gosh.
We got our minds on that one now.
Yep. We go from one thing to another all the time.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
So for people to come make an appointment, come talk to you and get started, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.